Welcome to the Hump Day Podcast. My name is Pastor Kevin Robertson. It is September 13th, 2017. Now, I have the privilege, and I know I keep saying the privilege, and I gotta get stop saying that word, but I'm enjoying, let's put it this way, I am going to enjoy this podcast. I'm interviewing Robin. Robin, how do you pronounce your last name? Because you have this long last name.
Ryan McDonald.
Okay, Robin Ryan McDonald's. Okay. Not McDonald's, plural McDonald's.
No, definitely not the fast food chain restaurant. No.
So, anyway, so tell me this. How did you first find out about our church?
I found out about Marina through Dale Winslow.
I love that guy.
Yeah, I like him a lot, too. And I was leaving CCF because Ryan and I were getting married and heading out this way.
Okay.
And I don't remember how Dale and I ended up talking, but he reached out to me and said, I heard that you're leaving CCF. We need, you know, female pastors like yourself to be able to stay plugged in. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, where you're heading, Kevin Robertson has a church out there. He's really supportive of women in leadership. Like, I want to connect you.
He did.
Wow, yeah.
He
said lots of nice things about you. If he would have told me the truth, I don't know.
No, shoot.
He said lots of nice things. He said, I want to connect you with him. And so he set it up. Because Light and Life is like a half hour from here. So it was between Light and Life and here. But here's way closer.
Okay.
And so then we met with you and we prayed about it, whether or not we felt led to be here. And what's funny is we felt the Lord say that he was calling us to be here, but we hadn't gone to a service yet.
That's what I thought was unusual.
Yeah.
Because you said it was clear that God was putting it. And I was thinking in the back of my head, they've never been here. They don't even know what kind of church it is.
Yeah.
They don't even know who I am or anything. So you felt like the Lord was putting you here to be part of this church.
Yeah.
Before you were part of this church. To visit the church.
To be completely honest.
Yes.
If we'd visited and gone to a service, I don't know if we would.
Really?
I mean, I don't know. It was totally like, I mean,
it's different because CCF. Why don't you explain CCF?
CCF is very different from Marina.
Okay.
So
CCF is a church.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Cucamonga Christian Fellowship.
Okay. And it's more of a Pentecostal type.
Yes. Very charismatic. It's a much larger church.
Mm-hmm.
Just a different culture, different dynamic, different feel.
Okay.
Not that one's better than the other, but just very different from, or I mean, CCF was familiar to Ryan and I, but Marina is very different for both of us from what the kind of congregations that we've been a part of.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So let's go from the beginning. Now, you were brought up in San Diego, right? You grew up in
Oceanside.
San Diego. Tell me something about your parents. Tell me something about your childhood. Normal, crazy?
It was very normal. My parents, both of them, were very, very supportive of me.
Okay.
I was the typical firstborn, want to achieve, do what's right kind of kid.
Okay.
My mom always is like my biggest encourager. I would, every day I finished at school, I'd get so excited to talk to her and tell her about my day. I'd give her the play-by-play. Like, you dropped me off, and then I went to class. And then
right.
So, yeah, everything, little play-by-play.
So you talked a lot.
Yes. Yes. And my mom and I still maintain that same kind of relationship. And
okay.
My dad, he was also encouraging. He used to tell me.
Oh, my goodness. My phone.
Your phone.
It's currently 4:21 p.m.
Okay, go ahead.
My dad would tell me things like, you know, you can do anything you want if you can read, if you can learn, if you're willing to work hard.
Okay.
So I kind of grew up feeling pretty invincible. Like, yeah, I can do whatever I want.
Right.
And so
okay.
I tried.
Okay, so somehow during this high school or junior high, you decided to get this in your head or a calling in the Lord that I want to do ministry. When did this come to place?
That actually happened in college.
Okay.
I went to Azusa Pacific University. I originally went in wanting to do graphic design and marketing.
Okay, really?
But, yeah, I was really into computer graphic design and stuff. I learned it in high school and was pretty good at it.
Okay.
But long story short, I ended up doing business, and I also fell in love with my biblical studies classes.
Right.
And just really kind of went through a progression of, oh, like maybe I'll work for a nonprofit and, you know, that does some sort of ministry thing and I can help with the business side of things. And I was like, oh, maybe I'll work for a ministry on, like, the business side of things. Okay. And then I was like, I feel called to be in the church. And it wasn't until my senior year where I was like, oh, man, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. Like, God, what do I do? Uh-huh. And he put it on my heart. He said, I'm calling you to ministry and leadership.
So this is what you've heard from God?
Yes.
Okay. Was it like, and I always love to ask people, was it an audible voice? How do you know it was from God? Or you just know it? You can't explain it.
I remember I was at the beach.
Okay.
I was praying. I was just really seeking God on where I was supposed to go after I graduated. Mm-hmm. And I can't say it was an audible voice, but it was just that sense, you know, how people hear him, you know?
Yeah.
And so just, I heard ministry and leadership. And I was really excited. I was like, oh, I heard, you know, like I was like, oh, I heard that. Like, okay. Cool. And it was affirmed a few months later when I had the opportunity to do the internship with the Free Methodist Church. It was a pastoral leadership internship.
Okay.
And then I also was presented with the opportunity for a full ride to seminary for people who feel called to be a lead pastor.
Okay.
And in praying whether or not I should do those two things, I had a couple different dreams where God, I was on a stage preaching.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. And then I reached out to a couple pastor friends, you know, asking for recommendations and things like that and guidance, and they affirmed it. One friend said, God told me that you're called to be a pastor, but I had to wait until you figured that out to affirm that. And
wow.
Was like, yeah. So that was all within the course of like 4 or 5 months,
okay.
My senior year.
The senior year of
college. Mm-hmm.
Now let's go back to the senior year in high school.
Okay.
Now your parents were kind of getting along well, but
mm-hmm.
something happened when you were 18, 19 years old.
Yeah, so, I mean, as far as I knew, most people looked at our family and thought we were kind of like your typical, like, perfect little family.
Okay.
Like, my sister and I were good kids.
Right.
My parents were pretty well off financially, like, you know, really didn't have to deal with much struggle. So
okay.
We're super privileged in that sense. But my sophomore year of undergrad, and, you know, everything's always 20/20 in hindsight,
mm-hmm.
you know, looking back, things between my parents were a little distant, but unfortunately, my dad was unfaithful to my mom, and that kind of exploded that the end of my first semester, my sophomore year, and ended up, I mean, my mom waited, they both waited like a year or so before either of them filed for divorce, but there just wasn't a heart for reconciliation.
Okay.
On,
did they stay together at the same house, or did they just...
No.
Okay.
No, When it surfaced. Yeah.
Now, how does that affect a child? Because obviously, you're a mama's girl, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, I know when I see somebody I love dearly hurt.
Yeah.
I fight. I go crazy.
Yeah.
So, obviously, I'm assuming this affected your relationship with your dad.
Yeah.
So how did that affect it? And obviously we know, but did you distance yourself from your dad then? Or did you have this blowout, scream out fest with your dad? Or
mm-mm.
just kind of...
No, you know what's crazy? I think I wrestle more with the effects of that
mm-hmm.
now than I did then, because I didn't know how it would affect me then. And
okay.
I didn't really feel all of it.
Okay.
But first thing when it all went down, like, I mean, and I love my dad too. Like,
right.
he's been a good dad. Like, I mean, there's certainly things, like, again, in hindsight, it's kind of like, oh, well, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
you see signs or whatever, but like, he's a good dad. I mean,
yeah.
my parents, I know they both did their best.
Right.
And when things went down, I met with my dad and I said, I just want you to know that I love you,
mm-hmm.
that I forgive you, that, you know, like, I want to maintain relationship with you,
right.
you know, and for a minute there, I was kind of, like, messaging between him and my mom, but that got cut quickly, thankfully.
Right.
But that's, I mean, that's what I told him, and I think that meant a lot to him during that time, and he verbalized that, and even when my mom was dealing with her anger, the Lord, I mean, all by God's grace, like, he really worked on my heart during that time.
Mm.
To emphasize his love and
right.
the freedom of his forgiveness.
Yeah.
And I was...
that's deep, if you think about it.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to forgiveness. Because obviously as children or high schoolers, you need to forgive your friend because they were mad dogging you. So the forgiveness was pretty shallow until you get to something like this. When it comes to your father or his mother or deeper issues, forgiveness is a lot tougher and a lot more difficult.
Yeah, and it was like, what I've realized, and we've talked about this before, is I forgave him for what I learned that he did.
Right.
And I did that. And I helped lead my mom into that as well. God, like, again, by God's grace, and he worked on her heart, and so she's set free as well.
Okay.
What I am working through and didn't realize what happened is that, you know, there's expectations that I have as a daughter and expectations for what he would do next, right. You know? So it's like, oh, made mistake, you know, here's what I think it should look like moving forward.
Okay.
And it didn't look like that, and some, you know, other shady things happened and were discovered, etc.
Right.
And so for me, it was not just that initial forgiveness. It's, oh my goodness, like, I need to forgive for this, for this. And then there's still the feelings of, like, man, I just really wish that, you know, I had a dad that, you know, would just listen to me and would support me, or, you know, whatever. And so it's those things that I still have to deal with and just set aside and say, you know what, like, I do love my dad, and I don't know fully the place that he's in or what he, maybe he needs someone who listens to him, but I'm wanting what I want, and he's wanting what he, you know what I mean? So that's kind of the struggle now of, like, what does it look like to continue in forgiveness and to continue to be loving, and it's hard.
And it's, the key word is continue.
Right.
Forgiveness is not a one-time thing.
Right, right, right.
You know, because some things can just fuel you out real quick.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously you and I have had conversations with our father, about our fathers.
Yeah.
And issues are not circumstances are similar, but the relationships are similar to my dad and your dad. So, you have one sister, right?
Yes.
Tell us about her.
I love her. She's super sassy.
Okay.
But she cares deeply.
Mm-hmm.
And she's much more internal than me, I guess you could say.
Okay.
And a bit more guarded than I am. But she cares deeply, loves deeply, super loyal to her friends,
right.
Super loyal. Like, if you're in her wing, like, she will shower you with gifts. She will be there for you. Like, she's very loyal that way. She and I were best friends growing up. Like, she was my number one playmate. Like, you know, I still love hanging out with her. We bust up laughing.
Now, you know what's interesting about this? Because do you remember when I first met your sister?
I know you did.
I met your sister at the Veterans Park. The Veterans.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And I thought she was one of the veterans. You know, because I was sitting there talking to her, thinking, okay, we're feeding her, and she's one of the veterans. And when you introduced me to your sister, you guys are totally polar opposites.
Yeah, I know, we don't even look alike.
Everything.
Yeah.
Because your sister's about 5'2", 5'3".
Yeah.
Okay, and you are?
6 feet.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you look lily white.
Oh, wow.
And she looks Hispanic, because your mother...
No, she does. No.
And so your mother's... What is your mother's nationality?
She's Mexican.
Okay, she's Mexican. And your sister looks more, to me, more Mexican.
Oh my gosh,
white.
I hope she doesn't hear this.
Okay, well, we won't play it for her. Anyway, she seems adorable.
She's gorgeous,
So then, going back to college, you graduated from college, and I was at Pacific University, went to seminary student... Now, I know and you know that when it comes to women in ministry, not everyone's embracing this.
No.
And not... do you remember the first time someone challenged you on your calling?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
That was not the recent time. The first time...
Yeah, the first time.
Was, actually, it was the last month I was in seminary in 2015... I was at a coffee shop.
Okay.
I was finishing my last, like, final, you know, paper that you have to do or whatever on your thesis or whatever. And I was sitting at the table. There was three other people around me at the table, and all four of us had our Bibles out.
Okay.
And I just said, like, oh, look, like, we all have our Bibles out, and kind of pointed to that. And so the two girls were like, oh, yeah, that's cool. And then this guy that was sitting there was like, oh, well, And just kind of like, I don't know, all of a sudden, like,
does
took it
talk,
upon him, like, all of a
guy
sudden wanted to...
like that? Oh, yeah.
kind of had this, like...
half monkey?
all of a sudden kind of perked up and was trying to start, you know, conversation with us. He's like, what do you guys think about holiness? And
And what do you think about holiness? That's just
random.
Random conversation. Random. Okay.
And so he starts engaging the girls about that, and then I...
Was it like a come online?
No. He did not seem interested in that way. He was very much interested in sharing his opinion. Okay. Yeah. And so then I asked him, I was like, oh, like, where did you learn about holiness? And mm-hmm. he's like, oh, well, you know, I studied with these people, and I'm out here doing this, this, and this. I was like, oh, that's super cool. And I was like, I'm finishing up my paper here for my seminary degree. And he's like, well, why are you in seminary? And I was like, oh, because I'm going to be a pastor. And he's like, you can't be a pastor.
You can't. So he was authority of everything right there.
Apparently.
Apparently, yeah. I'm God, and yeah. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Well,
Robin,
I mean,
can't be a pastor.
Yeah. And, I mean, I feel like I've learned a lot since that conversation, because literally for the next hour and a half, he was just pulling out random scriptures out of context and just shooting them at me.
Okay.
And I think stupidly tried to actually have a conversation about it with him, but right. he was not interested in what I had to say at all. And by the end of it, it was taxing on me. It was super high confrontation.
Intensive.
My body was trembling, even though right. I kept my composure. Like, internally, I was just shaking.
Yeah.
And by the end of it, he had said, he's like, you know, I'm really glad I came here today because I was going to go to the coffee bean, but I felt like God told me to come to the coffee clutch, and now I know why.
I felt God.
Yeah. He said, God called me to come here to rebuke you.
That's what he said.
And I was like, and so I was like, you know what? I was like, I can't keep having this conversation with you. I was like, I need to go. And he's like, well, I hope you repent. And I was like, thank you. And I hope you repent. I was like, you too. Have a good day. Bye.
Oh,
but then I went to my
too?
Car and I cried. Yeah, I did. I was like, you too. Bye. But it made me cry. I went to my car and I cried. Like, I didn't let him see it, but it was,
yeah.
it shook me up so much because it was
course.
Just so emotionally taxing. Like, it felt like an attack on me.
Okay.
See,
this was the first, and it
mm-hmm.
wasn't the last.
Mm-mm.
So this has happened throughout your life.
For the last couple years,
two, 3 years.
I
mean, pretty, and it's mostly men or women?
It's been all men.
All men.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all men really challenging you,
mm-hmm.
rebuking you,
mm-hmm.
saying you're an abomination.
Yeah, that was Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah, that was the last one. So how do you, inside, obviously it makes you cry, it hurts your feelings, it hurts
mm-hmm.
you in a way. And I know you like to kind of, okay, let's talk logically,
mm-hmm.
let's talk and understand the scripture, how
mm-hmm.
we interpret the scripture,
mm-hmm.
and there's just no way of having this decent conversation.
No.
How do you deal with it emotionally after these hits?
I mean, yeah, to be completely honest, they are hits, like,
yeah.
and even though logically
right.
I know what I know about scripture and what it says about women in ministry
yeah.
and egalitarian marriage, etc.,
yeah.
But I have to come back to Jesus and let him reaffirm that in me and come back to being grounded in what he's called me to do, because I desire so much to do what's right. And
right.
in those moments, it feels like I'm doing something wrong,
right.
obviously.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they're telling me,
yeah.
you
yeah.
know? And so I have...
And they're using scripture.
Yeah, yeah.
To do it.
Mm-hmm.
And to rebuke or to tell you to repent or call you an abomination.
Yeah.
Those are not light words.
No. Those, like little girl Robin inside of me is like, what?
Yeah.
Like, you know, so I have to come back to, no, like, this is who God's called me to be. And honestly, to be able to flip it, and I've been thinking about this recently with, you know, a recent incident, is I appreciate all the encouragement I get from people when I share these things. You're like,
right.
oh my gosh, that's awful. Like, if I was there, you know, like,
yeah.
I appreciate that, because I'm that kind of person for people. If something, you know, someone does something to my husband, like, Lord, help that other person. but what I don't want it to be about me. Like, I don't
right.
want it to be, like, you know, focused on my defense. I want to be able, and I'm not there yet,
right.
but I want to be able to be in those instances and have Jesus' heart for them and to be able to minister to them.
Right.
I don't want to have to worry about my own defense or like, oh no, like now I got to rebuild myself.
Right.
Like, I want to be able to be secure in Christ and be able to look at them like, you know, whatever thing in their past or wherever they ended up, to have this stance or even engage with people this
right.
way. Like, you know, it's just not okay to talk to people that way,
yeah.
you know? But I want to be able to minister to them. I want to be able to be the light of Jesus in those moments. And
right.
so that's, I guess, what I'm working towards, you know?
Yeah, it's almost like I'm not ministering. I don't really want to minister to the religious. I want to minister to the lost.
Yeah.
And
or the religious. I mean, we all need
to. Well, the religious.
Yeah.
The more religious you are, the more know-it-all it seems like.
Sure,
just,
yeah.
Just a big argument theology-wise. But, okay, so you finished up college. Now, tell us, because he keeps us reminding you that Ryan's the love of your life. He's yes. a perfect man on the yes. planet. Yes. He just rides on this horse.
Yeah.
This white horse.
Yeah.
So, how did you meet him?
We were set up.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
When I was a youth pastor at CCF.
Okay.
I was the junior high youth pastor, the high school youth pastor, knew Ryan from San Diego.
Okay, so you lived up near Rancho Cucamonga.
I lived in Rancho. Ryan was living in San Diego.
He was living in San Diego. So we're talking about 150-mile difference.
Yeah, whatever the mileage is, yeah.
I'm guessing.
Something like that. And, yeah, he set us up. I mean, long story short, he put a bug in each of our ears, told us about each other.
Did you look at his picture before you met him?
I did, because my mom was like, well, let's see what he looks like. I was like, no, I don't want to see it. I don't know.
Right.
And I saw his picture. I was like, dang. He's really cute. And I was like, I don't even know if this can work. Like I saw him, I was just like, oh my gosh.
Because he's tall.
He's too. Tall, he's extremely built, he's extremely handsome.
Okay, like, I know that. But how tall is he?
He's 6'5".
He's 6'5".
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it's good that he wasn't like 5'8".
I mean, that's, yeah, it wouldn't fly for me. Talking about things with growing up, that's kind of shallow, yeah. I guess. But
anyway, so do you remember your first date?
Yes.
Was it down in San Diego or?
No. I mean, we'd hung out in person for a few months, but then the first time, like we called it our first official date or whatever, he came to my apartment. We went on a hike to the top of a mountain. This was when he asked me to be his girlfriend. Well, actually, he didn't officially ask me. I kind of made it happen. That's a whole another story.
Okay.
But he was asking to pursue me, and I thought he was asking me to be his girlfriend. So I'm like, whoa, like, so it's a miscommunication. But I didn't know this until literally years later. I was like, wait a second, you weren't asking me to be your girlfriend. You were just asking if you could pursue me. I was like, dang it, I missed out on the pursuit. Who knows what he would have been? I just jumped right in. But we went on a hike. It was really precious. When he got to the top, he prayed. He's like, you know, prayed before we had that conversation.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, like, literally, we're sitting up there looking at the view, and he just started praying. And he was like, God bless this time, and, mm-hmm. you know, our conversation, and my words, and all this stuff. And I was just melting, like, oh my gosh, he's just praying right now about this. And like, oh my goodness. We went back. I made him some blueberry pancakes with frozen blueberries, which doesn't work, by the way. Okay. Burnt on the outside, not cooked on the inside. So I was embarrassed by that. We ended up going to L.A., and then we went line dancing that night. It was a huge full day.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was super fun. That was our first date. The first day we became boyfriend and girlfriend.
Oh, that's cool.
Not necessarily by his choice.
And so do you remember from your first date when you proposed, how long that was?
A year and was 9 months okay. or so.
So it was a long courtship. Because I know Jennifer and I, it was 6 months and we got engaged.
No, it was a year and a half or so.
A year and a half, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and then when did you get married?
June 27th, 2015.
See, you hesitated there.
It's been so long. Okay. Two years, you know.
So, anyway, so going back on your ministry, because I think this is fascinating to me, because obviously you know my story, and ministry has been a struggle,
mm-hmm.
and it is a struggle. And so are you positive without a doubt that God has called you to be a senior pastor?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am.
Okay.
It's scary, and I think one of the biggest fears that I have is that I won't get there.
Right.
Like, this is what I'm called to do, and for whatever reason, yeah. you know, I'm not going to fulfill that,
right.
you know. But yes, I do. I wholeheartedly believe that's what he's called me to do.
Okay. And so thinking about this, okay, that you went through when you were 19, 18, your perfect little family, as you say, or the Brady Bunch family. I always use the analogy of the Brady Bunch family, that you're struggling with, you know, them going through a separation, the forgiveness with your dad, then going into a college and then getting these rebukes and repent and mm-hmm. abomination and all this stuff. And all you're doing is, I just want to be obedient to God.
Yeah.
And so let me ask you this. If somebody came up to you and says, you know what, I feel God calling me to do this, but it just seems like everyone's against me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you've been in that position
mm-hmm.
where And the problem is we had a tendency to listen to the negative much mm-hmm. more than mm-hmm. the positive. Because mm-hmm. I'm the type that can sit at the door after I preach and everyone goes, fantastic sermon. And if someone comes and goes, that sucked. You know what I'm going to be focusing on?
Yeah.
That sucked.
Yeah.
That one person, whoever that person is, yeah. nobody said it sucked. They just don't say anything. So what advice would you give somebody as a woman that really wants to be in the ministry, but it's an environment that just does not accept mm-hmm. it?
Yeah, I mean, by and large, I really feel like when we're discerning what God's calling us to do, when we're discerning even God's voice, mm-hmm. it's not just a between us and God thing. Right. I don't think.
Right.
We're a part of the body of Christ. We're part of that community. So I think in addition to discerning God's voice, we're discerning who is really for us and who's also listening to God,
mm-hmm.
you know? So if, you know, they're in an environment where, okay, obviously if they don't believe in women in ministry, like that's going to be the voice.
Yeah.
But it's, I would encourage people, you know, who really loves and supports you? Who do you know that does hear the voice of God?
Right.
You know, these are the people that you want to go to and pray with and discern mm-hmm. with on anything, you know, because mm-hmm. Christianity is not an individualized thing.
Right.
We, in the United States, we've made it that way. It's just like, oh, I just need me and Jesus. I don't need, you know, this group. If I disagree, then I'm out, you know, and that's not God. That's not the body of Christ. That's not how it works.
Right.
And so what's been affirming for me is mm-hmm. it wasn't just me. Like, there's other people who affirm that. There's other people who continue to affirm that. Mm-hmm. And for those that don't, I have to evaluate. Is the random guy at the coffee shop, you know, the one who has say on what God's telling me? No, you know? He thinks so, but, yeah. you know, like, that's not,
well,
you
he
know.
Actually thinks, hey, God told him not yeah. to go to Coffee Bean and go to Starbucks to rebuke this young lady.
Yeah.
That's excited about serving God.
Yeah.
I just don't get it. So anyway, if you listen to the podcast, Robin and I have this interesting friendship, and it just kind of one incident drove me nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Was we were in a meeting with Al, and we were eating at Chipotle's. Okay, now you have to understand, Robin, she's a health fanatic. She eats very healthy. She cross trains.
CrossFit.
CrossFits.
Does CrossFit, I guess you could say.
What's cross train?
I don't know. It's called where the trains intersect on the railroad.
Okay. She does CrossFit, which basically I see her at the prayer time and she's bruised up, she's bleeding, and she's all excited because she climbed a rope to a ceiling. Right? But anyway, I was in line at Chipotle's, minding my own business. I let her go ahead of me, and I wasn't ahead of you. Then she started proceeding to tell the lady who was fixing my meal how to fix it and what to put in it. So what I started ordering was completely different than what I received.
I just felt like you didn't have enough veggies in there.
So the thing is, one thing that's very important to you, to the point where you're ordering other people how they eat. Why is this so important to you? When
health?
It comes to, well, not health, because then it sounds stupid when I'm asking this question. Why is healthy important? But why is eating correctly, doing things, I mean, you're so regimented when it comes to your food.
Mm-hmm.
You're so regimented when it comes to your exercising.
Mm-hmm.
You're so regimented in a lot of areas of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so how does this connect spiritually?
Yeah.
With you and being so regimented by your physical body, emotional body, and also spiritual.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think it's inextricable. Inextricable.
Words I can't even pronounce.
It is, you cannot separate them. They are not separate entities.
Okay.
They're intertwined.
You're very edubicated.
Thank you.
Okay.
I mean, you can't have one without the other,
right.
you know?
Okay.
And I think, again, not to pick on the American church, but kind of, you know, we've disconnected our spiritual well-being and our physical well-being.
Okay.
Most pastors are overweight, are overstressed,
mm-hmm.
are honestly extremely unhealthy. Mm-hmm. And that's just the norm for senior pastors across the board in the United States. A lot of that has to do with the stress of the job, mm-hmm. and a lot of that has to do with just a lack of understanding of what it takes to be healthy.
Right.
And I think a lack of understanding of how we get to partner with Jesus mm-hmm. in taking care of our bodies.
Right.
And so for me, I feel like I encounter God, and even learning more about myself through these different, you know, health disciplines or whatnot.
Right.
You know, I converse with someone who, you know, is like, yeah, like I really should start being healthy. And already you can hear the guilt and the shame.
Mm-hmm.
The guilt and the shame isn't just a symptom of their health situation.
Mm-hmm.
That's guilt and shame is something they probably deal with in other areas of their life.
Right.
You know, and so that is something that I get to see and then help lead them into
mm-hmm.
experiencing God's grace, not only in having the grace to cover what they've done in the past,
right.
but to have the grace to make the choices that can transform their health and transform their relationship with Jesus, and knowing how
mm-hmm.
he partners with us in that. And so for me, like, that's how it works. But then the other thing is, we're called to do amazing things if, you know, we're all too sick and tired, like literally sick and dying
yeah.
because we haven't taken care of ourselves. And
do it physically.
We can't do it.
Yeah.
And we have all these prayer requests of, like, you know, so-and-so has heart attack, heart
yeah.
disease, diabetes, et cetera. And we're like, oh no, like God, you know, did this to me.
Yeah.
Or like, oh no, like I don't understand. And it's like, well, I mean, if you don't eat well
right.
and you don't live a healthy lifestyle, that's what happens.
Right.
But just the same as if you don't, you know, follow God and you don't, you know, live according to his principles, you're going to experience, you know, the consequences.
Yeah.
But the cool thing about the gospel and all across the board is there's hope.
Right.
Just the same as there's forgiveness for our sins and for our life, and we can experience the freedom of that.
Mm-hmm.
We can experience that in our bodies. Our bodies
yeah.
are super resilient. When we give our bodies the nutrition it needs, it heals itself and
mm-hmm.
it gets better. There's forgiveness built into every facet of how God's created us.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So going back now, this is where you have a business as well.
Yes.
That's totally into health. What is your company's name?
It's called Made Well Health.
Okay.
You can go to madewellhealth.com and check out our stuff. But
okay. So this is not just talk. This is your whole life. This is what
mm-hmm.
you do, and
mm-hmm.
both you and your husband do it together.
Mm-hmm.
And see, about a month ago, you came back from Salt Lake City.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And so, about a month ago, you came back from Salt Lake City. And I want to touch base on that. You were so excited
yeah.
about, man, some changes are going to happen.
Yeah.
And I remember Ryan was so excited. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's just we feel like we're going a plus in our ministry together.
Mm-hmm.
We're heading in the right direction in
mm-hmm.
our business. And then all of a sudden, something happens. When you bumped into three men.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Tell us about that.
Yes. So, you know, speaking of having people come against me and whatnot.
Now, this is random, too.
Yeah, super random. Side note, too, I was thinking about this.
Don't go to Utah?
No. That happened in Las Vegas.
Oh, okay.
Don't go to Vegas. Everybody knows
don't go to Vegas.
Also, literally each week before that,
mm-hmm.
I also work at Whole Foods part-time. Again, health fanatic.
Yeah.
There were two customers that almost made me cry. And so we were talking about spiritual warfare
right.
and attacks and stuff. Like, one lady, she called me dumb. Another lady just completely misunderstood what I was saying. I was basically saying, like, that I was bothered by her presence. Like, I don't even know. People just completely misunderstanding me, making me feel awful.
Okay.
And I'm like, I never want to hurt anybody.
Right.
So it was like those instances. And so I'd like end my week and my shifts with that. And then we go to this event. And then, so that was, I guess, just me as a person, you know, Whole Foods work environment. And then go to this event, get super excited. Driving back from Utah, we're in Las Vegas. So when we were just talking about health, we were at an In-N-Out.
Yeah,
yeah.
I was going to mention
yeah.
that. In-N-Out,
yeah.
They're good burgers.
I mean, as far as you know, quality fast food goes, it's up there. However, it was I wouldn't even say it's like not a perfection issue. Like, that's the other thing. There's,
but you can eat every once in a while to you. You can
yeah,
be
there's balance.
Bad.
Yeah,
okay.
There's balance.
Right.
And so we were on vacation. It was our last, you know, little splurge of the vacation heading back into California. And we get out of the car, and these three men are walking towards me from the restaurant. They have, like, crosses and Jesus shirts on or whatever.
Okay.
And they hand me a track and they say, oh, here's the gospel. And I said, oh, thank you. And I was like, oh, you know what? I was like, I'm actually a Christian. I'm a pastor.
Right.
You know, you can give this to someone else.
So in hindsight, you should have said thank you and kept walking away.
Yeah.
Okay. But you had to say thank you. I'm a Christian and a pastor.
I did. Yes. Okay. Didn't want them, you know, to waste their resources. I don't use tracks. I'm not a huge fan of them. But God can work through anything.
Okay.
So they're literally like handing it to me. I'm gonna get into their car, but I said that, and they kind of like did the slow back turn and like,
Okay. You
can't be a pastor.
All right.
And they're like, women can't be pastors or preach or lead. That's an abomination to God. You're an abomination to God. You're leading people to hell.
So they said, you're an abomination.
Yeah.
And you're going leading people to hell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
well, that's true. What are you part of this church for?
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah. So that made a quick turn, you know, really fast. So I was like, that's not true. And then they said, no, that's not what it says in the Word of God. And he had his little, you know, Bible right there. And then they were going on, you know, saying stuff. And I was like, no, it's okay, guys. Like, and what was kind of scary though, was like these three fairly larger men, like walking
fairly
towards
me. Fairly larger men that obviously don't take care of their bodies. Is that what you're saying?
We'll have your set.
I'm not judging.
We'll have your set. They're walking towards me, you know?
If you listen to the podcast, she has her hands like 5 feet around.
Oh, okay.
Like, no, these are big guys. Okay. That's funny. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they're walking towards me, and I was just by myself. And I don't want Ryan to feel bad. He was very excited about In-N-Out. He thought that they were just going to hand me the track, and I was right behind him. He scurried inside to go get his burger. So he didn't know this happened. I mean, you don't expect people to attack you and call you an abomination,
right,
you know? Like,
right.
He wasn't expecting
but
that to happen.
But the time you needed Ryan, he's
I know,
jumping
like,
on In-N-Out.
Would have been nice to have a giant man standing behind me, but, you know, I'm pretty buff.
My knight in shining armor is completely off at
yeah.
In-N-Out.
It's like, it's all good. I can handle myself, you know? I'm good. And it was funny, too, because, like, I went back inside and I was like, what the heck? Like, why'd you leave me? And he's like, I figured you could handle it. And I told him what happened. He was like, oh, he's like, I'm so sorry. He's so precious. But anyways, so they come and they're approaching me. And I just realized, and again, like, so I told that story about the coffee shop. What I learned from that time, I was like, I will never let that happen to me again, where
right.
I sit there and allow myself to be attacked for that long. So I saw where it was going and I said, you guys have a great day. I'm going to go inside. And so I kind of like, I waved by and was walking into the restaurant, and literally the entire time I was walking into In-N-Out, they were yelling at me from across the parking lot and quoting scripture and saying, you know, repeating what they were saying. And I just kind of, you know, waved
bye.
Yeah. And
that is crazy.
Yeah. I think that the perception of, you know, women in ministry is crazy in and of itself.
Right.
But what's crazier is the way they chose to converse with me about it. You know? So, I mean,
it's almost like establishing a domination.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, how could? Because basically, I would assume people that would believe, that do not believe in the empowering of women, that basically look at women more of a negative sense and more of a servant type.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have someone that's very strong that says, I want to be a leader in the ministry, I don't know. It's just sad.
I mean, yeah.
But the cool thing about this, you decided a few days after you got back to do something live on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, tell us about that.
Yeah, in that situation, especially in, you know, having to come back to Jesus and have things reaffirmed and be grounded and like, no, this is what I'm called to. And even though, you know, they didn't seem interested in what I had to say, nonetheless, they encountered a female pastor.
Right.
You know, I don't know how many they've met.
Yeah.
You know.
That wouldn't back down.
You know, I mean, I don't think they thought I'd back down because I walked away, but.
No, but still. They were still yelling at
you. Yeah, yeah. They weren't satisfied. I felt like I should share this story. People don't realize that this is actually a dynamic that with female pastors. I mean, as far as my experiences go, like, yes, I've had a few, you know, challenging experiences like I've shared. But other women, you know, it's all the worse. Or even, you know, if we talk about just discrimination in general, like, let's talk about, you know, racial issues. Let's talk about, you know, all these different factors.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as challenges in that regard go, mine's not that bad.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to tell the story.
Yeah.
So I did a 3-minute video, Facebook Live.
Okay.
It ended up...
Which I saw, and it was good, and you were explaining the story.
Yeah.
And you were doing it with a smile. You weren't, like, pissed off. You were,
no.
You were just, as a matter of fact, this is what I went through.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
It blew up.
Yeah. In a good way, right?
Yeah.
Oh, God, it blew up. So you had how many people share this video?
I mean, like, over 60 people shared the video.
Okay. Now, random, when I show videos, 20 people watch them, okay? And I'm all excited.
Yeah.
But how many people watch this video?
It's pushing 10,000.
Yeah.
Over 10,000. But the reason why I got so much traction is the Junia Project, which I highly recommend as a resource.
Okay.
You go to their website, their blog, I've written for them. They talk a lot about egalitarian marriage and women in leadership. But they shared it on their page. So that's really where it exploded.
Okay.
And I think it was really encouraging to a lot of people. I hope. That was, yeah. I mean, that's the whole point.
Well,
you know.
You told me you had all these friend requests from random people that believed in you. You heard from a bishop from another denomination.
Mm-hmm. The Brethren in Christ denomination.
Brethren in Christ. What
yeah.
did he say?
He said, thank you for sharing your video.
Okay.
I've been doing some work in our denomination on women in leadership. He said, I want you to know that I support you.
Wow.
And I was just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
That's cool. And our own superintendent, Denny Wayman.
He shared it as well.
He shared it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exciting. So what you did, you took something that could have been a negative thing.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, out of 9,000 views, there's a lot of people that are struggling with it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Not with women in ministry, but being in ministry as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, on a personal basis, Robert, I really think you can be used as a vessel tremendously for that.
Mm-hmm.
So Dale Winslow was right. I'm this awesome guy. I believe in the empowerment of women. I allow you to order food for me and put a bunch of salad all over my nice meat and cheese and chicken.
<Yeah. laughs> I mean, to be fair, I mean, CCF obviously supported me as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
To be fair,
yeah.
CCF, but you're here, so I'm just taking the full credit of it.
I'm gonna share the credit with Pastor Frazier, too.
I know. Yeah, so, absolutely. And you were ordained a year ago, right?
No,
or two
no.
2 years ago?
No, this past May.
Okay, this past... Oh, God, it's been real quick.
Yeah.
It seems longer. So you're an elder in the Faith Methodist Church.
I am, officially.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
I'm excited. So if you're interested in being part of Robin, just friend her on Facebook.
Yeah.
And we'll put a link into that video that she talked about.
Oh, yeah.
And so if you, so when you hear the video, just there's going to be a link down there so you can click and watch the video that we're talking about. And hopefully there's well over 10,000 views by then. Continue to pray for Robin and Ryan. They're a great couple, and they're just growing. And that pray for protection for Robin, because I know Robin on a personal basis. This stuff can be very hurtful, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it can shake you, too. And so it's just, I'm looking forward to see that this incredible ministry developing with both of them and doing. And plus, Robin and Al Johnson are leading our small group leadership team.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan's also part of our men's group that is starting to develop as well.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for listening. Remember, every day is a gift from God. If you're looking for a church, join us every Sunday at 10 o'clock and in October at 6 p.m. because we're restarting our Sunday night service. God bless you, and I'll see you guys next week.